The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we say hello to you. It's in the middle of the week, and we are really looking forward to helping you get ready for the college football season. We start with one of the best coaches in college football, of course. Kyle Whittingham took over at the University of Utah, succeeding Urban Meyer back in late 2004, early 2005. Many of you remember that undefeated season in 08, beating Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. And right now, his team getting ready to take on the University of Florida. Coach Whitting, it's always great to say hello to you. Thank you for the time, and I'm just shaking my head at the longevity. I'm sure you are too, thinking about you, that you've lived it. Very few coaches have been at one place longer than you have. Good afternoon. How are you?
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on. You're right. Back when I first took the job, I had no idea it was going to run its course like it has. But very blessed and very fortunate to be able to be in the same place for so many years.
And I know it's maybe it's not even fair to ask somebody who has done what you have done, but I think only two other coaches have been at places longer. Winning always plays a role, and you're coming off of an incredible year where you took your team to the Rose Bowl. But as you look around the landscape and see so many colleagues and close friends unable to hold on, what do you think it has been that has kept you and your staff, for the most part, at Utah this long?
Well, in a word, recruiting. That's the lifeblood of any program, and our assistant coaches through the years have done such a great job of projecting the talent to bring into our program. We're more or less a developmental program. We get our guys into the program, and then it's our job as coaches to maximize their abilities and develop them, stick them in the weight room, put weight on them, and all that type of thing, and just give all the credit to our assistant coaches for bringing in the correct raw material, and then once we get them, teaching those guys, how we do things here, and teach them the fundamentals, techniques. Strength staff deserves a great deal of credit. We have a lot of development that takes place in there as well. So that's the key, is being blessed with good players and players that want to work hard.
I know, Coach, you've had a lot of great moments. I mentioned one, the Sugar Bowl win, but you've had so many others. And last year, those two wins over Oregon, they were dominating, winning the conference championship, getting a ticket to the Rose Bowl. I know you can't harp on that, and I want to talk to you about your opening game in a second, but what did that season mean to your program?
Well, it was huge, and last year was the best of times and the worst of times. We lost our two teammates, Ty Jordan and Aaron Lowe. That was just horrific and devastating, and there is no blueprint for how to carry on and then move past that. Fortunately, we had great leadership on the team. The players rallied together, banded together. We started off the season poorly as well. In addition to losing our players, we're 1-2 out of the gate. So couldn't have been prouder of a group of guys, and particularly the group of upperclassmen that really held that group together and ended up turning that season into one, for the record books. And it really was the next step in the evolution of our program, is to win the Pac-12. We won the South several times. It was our third trip to the Pac-12 championship game. Had not been able to get it done the first two, and so to be able to get over that hump and reach that point was big for our program.
And Coach, you mentioned the adversity, and there's no template. Nobody knows really what to do. You just have to lean on a lot of things. But what did you, and in particular your staff, lean on to communicate to the players how to deal with the moment and then move forward?
Well, I think the tipping point, Paul, was when we had Aaron Lowe's mom, Donna, come and speak to the team. Aaron had passed just a day or two before. Donna came to town, to take care of things that needed to be attended to. While she was here, she wasn't here long, it was just about 36 hours, I said, Donna, totally up to you, but if you want to speak to our team and address them, I would really be grateful if you could do that. And she thought about it for a second and said, yeah, I would like that opportunity. So she spoke in our team meeting, and really, you know, wasn't a long speech, 2 or 3 minutes, but she expressed to the team how both Aaron and her would want them to press on and continue continue to compete and make the season, you know, as good as it could possibly be. And that really was the turning point. When our players heard that from Aaron's mom, that really was a aha moment for our football team. And from then on, we really started to find out who we were.
Coach Whittingham, turning the page, which sounds almost inappropriate after what you just got through saying, but you start a new season. You're coming off of a championship, an experience that your players have not really had a chance to. Although a couple of years ago, you were in the national championship consideration, late in the year. How do you approach a season like this when you know you can't win or lose everything on the opening weekend, but you have a very daunting task going across the country to a place that everyone is very familiar with, the University of Florida?
Absolutely, and that's got our players' attention, since we came back to school in January. And that's really the big benefit of playing an opener like that is there's very little motivation and incentive you need to provide for your players as far as getting them to work and getting ready for the season, because they know the challenge that lies ahead of them, and it's a huge challenge going down to the swamp into SEC country. And we also know that we have a target on our back, and been preaching to the team since January. It's harder to stay on top than it is to get to the top, and we got to work twice as hard and be ready to have everybody gunning for us, and that's just the nature of the beast. You got to embrace that. I mean, that's in our opinion, a good place to be and a good situation to be in, and we'll see if we can maintain the prosperity that we've had.
The fact that you're making the trip explains your philosophy on these type of games, but you mentioned getting attention, but in the future, is this something that you would like to, or you already have done, I guess, but how do you approach the scheduling part of that?
Yeah, it's there's pros and cons. I mean, if you're playing a lesser opponent, and not to be disparaging to FCS teams or whatever, but if you play an opponent that's not to the level of Florida, then you got an opportunity to take a look at some of your new players and get guys reps that you want to find out about. And I don't want to say ease into the season, but you can use that first game as kind of a tune-up. When you got a game like this, it's a whole different mindset. I mean, you got to be hitting on all cylinders right from the beginning, and you better know who you are, right from the get-go. And we're going to find out on September 3rd.
I want to get you out here in a second. I know your time is limited, but finally, we've heard from fans from Florida, and they say nobody has any idea what they're getting into weather-wise. Certainly, Utah has a summer, but it's not quite like Gainesville. How do you prepare for that situation?
Yeah, we've got some heat exposure things that we're doing here. We've got an indoor facility that we're cranking the heat up and getting the humidity up, and so we're doing what we can to prepare for that environment. And we know it's going to be hot, but you're right, it does get hot here. 100 degree days here are very commonplace, but the humidity we can't replicate that outside. So we've taken we call them heat exposure days that we've been working indoors and doing everything we can to prep our guys for the environment that they're going to be in.
Coach, thanks for making time. It's always a pleasure to get a chance to say hello.
Okay, Paul. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Kyle Whittingham joining us to begin the program, the head coach at Utah, and truly one of the best coaches in America. And what a resume he has, including that Rose Bowl appearance last year. So we are off and running here on what should be a busy Wednesday afternoon. A lot to do, including a visit with Mr. College Football in about an hour, and your phone calls next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we have a lot going on. Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart will join us a little bit later on. Some news over the weekend that Tony shared with us, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Tanner Marler from Mississippi State, Peter Routerkuss from the Daily Reveille, and Cole Park from the Kentucky Colonel as we continue to work our way through the campuses. I'll share some headlines with you. Top 100 players are out. A defender at number one. Who do you think that is? No? I want to go with Alabama players. They are in 1 and 2. Will Anderson, Jr., of course, and Bryce Young. CJ at 3. And then quite a few other players. How about the quarterbacks? We got quarterbacks for you. 8 SEC quarterbacks. You expected us to share that information with you here. Bryce Young, Will Rogers, KJ. We talked to him yesterday. Levis, we talked to him 2 weeks ago. Stetson, Hendon. These are first namers. Spencer and Anthony Richardson. Let's take some phone calls here. And the number has never changed. 855. Well, it did one time. But that was a long time ago. Let's begin with Doug in Kentucky. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today, buddy?
Very well, thank you.
I'm a first-time caller, and the reason I'm calling, I've seen online here that, where the people's talking about Coach Kyle, he ought to leave and all this kind of stuff because he said something wasn't very nice about the football team. But I think Coach Kyle is pretty well right on the head with it because Kentucky is a basketball university, been there for years. I've been a fan my whole life. My next-door neighbor growing up was Mike Casey. And I think Coach Kyle's one of the greatest coaches we ever had at Kentucky. And, so I kind of wish – I know some Louisville fans, and they're even talking about sending you a Louisville shirt because you really got them kind of fired up down here, So I really appreciate it if Coach Kyle would just talk to the football coach and maybe go out to have dinner and, let all this blow over,
You know, Doug, I think that's a good suggestion. And by the way, I don't want no stinking Louisville shirt, okay?
Well, you might get one.
Hey, I got to tell you, Doug, I grew up in Memphis for the University of Memphis Tigers. And the biggest rival as a kid was Louisville. So I grew up hating the Cardinals. So you cannot pay me to wear a Louisville basketball shirt. So whatever I had to say about Cal – is pale compared to my animus toward those folks over in Louisville. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Greg in Ohio. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
I kind of have a little bone to pick with you about Notre Dame, though. I think you were misleading when you said Brian Kelly is, he is, by the way, the all-time winningest coach in Notre Dame history, which he is.
Mm-hmm.
I understand he is. I've been a Notre Dame fan since the early
70s. I don't mean to be Professor Paul here, but how was that misleading?
Well, because you say that he's going to take a big step down this year with Marcus Freeman, and I can't agree with that because as a Notre Dame fan since the 70s, first of all, Brian Kelly is the winningest coach only because he coached the most games. He coached 15 more than Lou Holtz, 25 more than Eric Parseghian, 25 more than Newt Rockne, 30 more than Frank Leahy. His winning percentage is actually worse than all of those guys. Hmm. And he never won a big game. His biggest win was against Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. That was his biggest game since he's been a head coach at the University of Notre Dame. He could not take him to the next level. We don't know what we're getting. All we have with Marcus Freeman is one bad half.
Hey, by the way, were you when Kelly was your coach, were you saying all this? So were you outspoken?
I was. Honestly, Paul, I never liked the guy. I think he's a very good coach. All my friends tell me Notre Dame will never win a championship ever again. It's not the same, blah, blah, blah. And I never believed that. And they got close, but they were never really close. I mean, they got blown out by Alabama in the playoffs. They really didn't do well. He just could not. He took them as far as he can take them. And I think a new coach is going to take him further. And I also think that he's a very good coach. I do not think he's a great coach. Those other guys I spoke of, Holtz, Parsegian, Leahy, Rockne, those guys are great coaches. Brian Kelly is a very good coach, not a great coach.
Okay. Well, listen, I don't know. I mean, we've had two calls, and I'm in firefights with two different fan bases. And I've got to find some help here. I've got to find somebody who will stick up for me. How about Hayden in Alabama? Hayden, good afternoon.
What's up, Mr. Paul?
What's happening, Hayden? How have you been?
Oh, man, I'm trying to make it. You remember me, right?
You are our Chick-fil-A guy, right?
Yes, sir, that's right. I wanted to update you.
Okay, please do.
I got Employee of the Month for July.
Now, hold on a second, because I mean, it's one thing to get Employee of the Month where I am, but which I've never gotten, by the way. It's another thing to get Employee of the Month at Chick-fil-A, which has high standards. So how do you get selected? What's the criteria?
I'm going to be honest with you, I have no clue. I figured that they might have just randomly picked someone, but I have no clue.
Well, by the way, that's a big deal at a company like Chick-fil-A because they pay attention to service more than any other company, as we said the last time. So congratulations, and I would think that's going to bode well for your future there.
I hope so. You care if I ask you a question, too?
No, of course not.
Awesome, Mr. Paul. This is why we love your show, man. I just want you to know. I wanted to talk to you about the third best team in the SEC. I know you talked about this a lot. Do you think Georgia, they've lost a lot of players, and we know the top two teams are going to be, which is Alabama and Georgia. But I wanted to know if there maybe was a team that could be a team that could upset Georgia on their schedule, maybe able to claim that spot for third best team in the SEC.
Well, I think the two most likely are Kentucky and Tennessee. They both will get Georgia. Let me think. Kentucky gets Georgia at home. I think Tennessee has to go to Georgia, if I remember the schedule correctly. So I would favor Kentucky a little bit more. That's a late season game, November. But I think it's really split evenly between which one of those will make the biggest move. Right now, maybe a slight edge toward Kentucky.
Yeah, I would say so too. One more question, if you don't mind.
No.
It's a lot of the talk around Notre Dame, you know, Marcus Freeman being the new head coach. I really like Marcus Freeman. I think he's going to do great things at Notre Dame, but I don't think that this would be the year that they would be able to do it. I think that they may could come out first game of the season against Ohio State, you know, maybe first quarter, show a little glamour, you know, show some eye candy, and you know, think make people think that they're going to compete in this game, and then but I just don't know about them this year, Paul.
I'm with you, hey, Hayden. First of all, again, congratulations on being the Employee of the Month at Chick-fil-A. You stay in touch with us. That is really cool, and we will continue to follow your success. Will is up next in Lexington, Kentucky. Hey, Will.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I just wanted to talk about Mitch Barnhart and all the comments he made recently.
Yes. Okay. Of course.
In my opinion, I think that he's, you know, not doing a very good job trying to, like, settle down the situation here. He's just making it seem like a bigger deal than it is. In my opinion. And, I mean, I don't know what he's doing exactly, but he's just starting fires more than there already is one. You know what I mean?
Well, no, I really don't know what you mean, because he didn't start this. John Calipari started it. And then Stoops responded, and all Barnhart did was try to calm the waters. Now, he did not, but it's not like he sent the first salvo out.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. I mean, he's just sitting there, and he talks all about how we're going to be this big school, and we got all these plans, but in the end, he's just keeping the fire rolling.
Well, let me ask you this. If you were sitting there in Mitch's position, what would you have done?
I mean, personally, if it were me, I would have brought them both together and ended this about a week ago.
Well, the problem, here's the problem, though, Will, and I don't mean to play semantics with you, but Calipari was in the Bahamas when all this started, and he was going to be there for three more days. Mitch was obviously in Lexington, as was Coach Stoops. So, yeah, he could have done a better job. I don't think there's any doubt. One of the criticisms I heard from the all-knowing Matt Jones was that Mitch is not savvy with social media, and he didn't realize how big of a mushroom cloud this had created. If Matt said it, it's got to be true. So we'll take his word for it.
Yeah, I mean, Mitch is notorious for not being on social media, like you said. And, I mean, you got to email him to contact him. But, I mean, me personally, like you said, Stoops was here with Mitch, and Calipari was out in the Bahamas. But I still would put him on a phone call together to kind of, you know.
Yeah, I think a proactive athletic director would have acted immediately to try to calm it down. And I'm sure Mitch was not thrilled that Mark Stoops went on social media to react, but at that point, the damage had been done. And I think Cal figured, I'll just give a phony baloney apology to Mark Stoops and try to call him. And basically, remember, we had this with Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher said, I'm not talking to that guy ever again. Of course, he did. But Stoops just sat there and watched his phone ring while Cal was calling poolside at the Atlantis. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're up against a break. We started with Coach Whittingham, and we have a long way to go. Tony Barnhart in the next hour. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back, and appreciate all of you being here. And Ranger is up next. Good afternoon, Ranger.
Good afternoon, Paul. Hope you're having a good time.
Thank you.
I have a question to pose to you and would like your opinion. What do you find more effective or more accomplished, Kirby Smart winning a national championship with a walk-on QB, or Josh Heupel coming in to total mess and coming out with the record he did?
Razor, I think that's pretty easy. I mean, Josh Heupel did a great job, and everyone has said that, but he still went 7-6. You're trying to compare that to Kirby Smart building a national champion team after nearly missing 4 years earlier, after having been the architect of some of the best defenses in SEC history. I'm not saying that Heupel won't prove that, but I don't even think it's a fair question. Dave is up next.
Hi, Paul. Peggy, my wife, you know, my beautiful wife, by me talking to you, but
of course.
She wanted to say something to you, okay?
Of course.
Peggy Dearest, this is Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Peggy, what a pleasure.
It was same to you. I just wanted to call and thank you for all the nice things that you've said concerning my rehabilitation, I guess you'd say. But I wanted you to know that I'm doing really well. I'm really kind of proud of myself. I can get around now with just a cane. Things are looking up. We're still not done, you know. A lot of things that you can always learn to do, different exercises and stuff. But it's a pleasure to get to watch your show every day, Monday through Friday, and I get tickled. I'm a big fan of football. I mean, you know that David and I are both big Arkansas Razorback fans. Love Coach Pittman. And I just get it. It's just entertaining. It gives me a big break every day to look forward to your show. And thank you very much for all your nice wishes.
Well, Peggy, I want to thank you because I think you and Dave are inspirations to all of us to understand what's really important in life, even though we act like the most important things are really who wins a football game. But you two are the personification of commitment and love, and I think you've been an inspiration to all of us.
Oh, thank you so much. See, you're just so sweet. You tell your wife to give you a big kiss when you get home tonight from me.
I will.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Be well to both of you. Wow, what a cool couple, and we're so pleased to hear how well she is doing. Let's check in with Phil in Florida. Hello, Phil.
Paul, it's been a while.
It has been.
Let me drop a lot. The Kentucky people have gone nuts, right?
They're in the process of losing it. Yes.
Let me drop what has been alive for about 70 years now, cigarette lighter versus a Cadillac. You know what I'm talking about, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That was all a put-up deal. What happened is Adolf Rupp was on the verge of being fired and probably should have been when his team got caught up after the fact of shaving points back in the late 40s and early 50s. And Adolf said right up front, you couldn't touch any of my players with a 10-foot pole. Well, unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Two of the Fabulous Five were driven out of there. And what drove Paul Bryant out of Lexington, a place he dearly loved, was trying to save Adolf Rupp. The athletic director said, you can only recruit 8 players out of the state of Kentucky. Well, Paul Bryant was getting all of his players, Babe Riley, Western Pennsylvania, Bob Gain, Northeastern Ohio. So that was a deal. Let me tell you, when Paul Bryant and Adolf Rupp walked the campus of the University of Kentucky, the ground shook. Would you agree with those two?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot about that, and I don't know what you know, but I do know that Coach Bryant really had a great time there.
He did, and I will say this: both Coach Rupp and Coach Bryant, they got a lot of distance out of that cigarette lighter versus Cadillac. They went on the rubber chicken circuit and made a lot of money with that story. Correct?
That is correct. And I later heard after Bryant left, they remained very close friends.
They did. And let me just tell you, there was a guy named Ed Curd in Lexington. And everybody's dead, so it doesn't matter. Ed Curd lived in 97. In fact, Billy Reed wrote a biography of Ed Curd.
Oh, did he really?
Excuse me.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. Billy, you mentioned Billy Reeder. I know Billy just recently died. He was one of my favorite writers growing up.
Ed Curd, my father got a job kind of cleaning up in his little bar in downtown Lexington. Mm-hmm. It was the biggest bookie west of New York. And he got a lot of the bets that Frank Costello, the big mob guy in New York, passed off. And sure. The reason Ed Curd got all this business is he developed the line in basketball. He used to bet basketball like baseball, which was crazy. I still don't know how to bet baseball. But anyway, Ed Curd got the basketball line going. They loved him. They passed off the betting on basketball, horse racing, and everything else. But Ed Curd used to come to our church. He was caught up in the gambling scandal, escaped to Canada, arrested, brought back, spent 6 months in jail. And if everybody out there is watching Better Call Saul the other night, he cut a deal with the federal government that said, I won't go to prison if you let me leave the country and come back 2 days a year, Mother's Day and Christmas Day. And the only reason I know he came back those days, I was counting the church collection at a Catholic church in downtown Lexington. Not many of us were Catholics back then. But anyway, I would pick up the basket. Everybody had tithing envelopes. Ed Curd dropped a folded check. Now, we're talking about the early 60s. $10,000, Mother's Day and Christmas Day. He went down to the Bahamas and developed Paradise Island. Nice talking to you. Kentucky fans, chill.
Well, that guy knows some stories. You always hear the cliche, you know, so-and-so knows where the bodies are buried. This guy did. Let's continue. Phil is in Louisville. Hey, Phil.
Hey, I'm Bill, actually.
Okay, Bill.
Hey, a couple of things. I was just calling you with one thing, but you did kind of bait me into a two-pronged question, and I'll give you what you baited me into first, and we'll go from there. Should be a little bit of fun. You said you are a Memphis State fan, and I'm a Louisville fan, and you really don't care for us too terribly much.
Well, Phil, Bill, that was based on my feelings as a 10-year-old and an 11-year-old. We hated it. Okay. When Denny Crum used to come into the Coliseum, we wanted to throw things at him. Now, do I still feel the same way now? I really don't, but that's how I felt as a kid.
Denny is a great guy. He sits one row in front of me at the Louisville basketball games. He's a super, super guy. And in order to help you maybe bury the hatchet, I would be happy to host you at the Rendezvous for ribs and also at the Brown Hotel for a hot brown if it will help you dispel your feelings about Louisville.
I think we can do that, Bill, because they have subsided significantly. But you have to remember, back then, Louisville, I can't remember, what was the guy's name who Denny succeeded? But, I mean, Louisville was the was at the epicenter.
Dana Kurt?
Well, no, I'm talking about Denny came in after another legendary coach at Louisville. And immediately,
John Domo.
Yeah, exactly. And started taking them to Final Fours and championship games. And, you know, Memphis was an ascending program. It later became very well known, as you know, with Dana Kirk and ultimately Calipari. But when I was there, it was still kind of a punching bag. But during my early high school years, they finally were able to beat Louisville once or twice. And yeah, I remember one year, Memphis beat Louisville twice in the regular season, but because Louisville had so much control over the conference, they made them play the game off in Nashville. And I remember my poor mother and I went to the game, and Louisville naturally won that game, even though it should have never been played. And Louisville ended up going to the NCAA tournament. That's when only one from every league could go. That was, I think, the last year that was in effect.
Well, and this what leads me into the second part of my call for you. We're not all bad guys. You spent a lot of time talking about NIL. You spent a lot of time talking about other things, and I understand that. Yasir Abdullah, a fifth-year senior on U of L's football team, he's donated most of his NIL money back to his high school in Miami. And I just think that's a wonderful way for these guys to be paying it forward.
Okay, well, listen, I will, Bill, from this moment on, I will rest my hatred toward the University of Louisville based on the mind of an 11-year-old and move forward. And thank you for your call. We're heading to a break. Tony Barnhart coming up here in just a few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Chad is up next. Hey, Chad.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Chad, we are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I know you're a big Alabama fan, but I just wanted to get your opinion on my I'm a big Big Ten fan here, and on my Buckeyes. See what you thought about them this year.
I think the Buckeyes are pretty much Alabama and the Buckeyes are 1A and 1B. I think it's that close. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to split hairs on that because we haven't seen them yet, but I think they're far and away the best team in the Big Ten, and I think it really starts on the defensive side with the change made there and the talent that exists. And I think the schedule, I don't even think Notre Dame's a difficult opening game.
I don't either. What do you think about Jim Knowles, the big hire, Jim Knowles? I think he's
yeah, I mean, that's the big one. He came from Oklahoma State, and you know, he really did a good job out there. And I give Ryan Day credit. He took a good evaluation. He realized last year he had to make a change. He did in the middle of the season. And he's rectified that situation, and I think they'll go undefeated. I mean, this is not Urban Meyer, who would blow a game at Purdue or wherever he would blow games on the road.
Iowa,
yeah. I mean, this is a – Ryan Day doesn't – I mean, I know he did that last year, but Oregon was, at the time, a really good team. And I still can't figure out the Michigan loss, but that was a once in a generation. Pat is up next in Georgia.
Hey, Paul, thanks. Congratulations, Hayden. I think it's fantastic that your employee of the month at Chick-fil-A, your operator's leadership team, that's a real important decision that they make. I think you're just modest as to why. And
hey, Pat, if I could offer myself into this story, when I was during my 7 months at McDonald's, I got shown the door. That's what I got. But I was never employee of the month, I can assure you.
Well, and this is not why I called, but that's just
that's a big deal story. Because as you know it pretty well, Pat. You don't become employee of the month at Chick-fil-A by showing up. You have to excel.
No, absolutely. And good Chick-fil-A employees, not that there are any bad Chick-fil-A employees.
Not for long.
But the good ones, they get hired away a lot. And I've got personal experience with that. I really do like the change in your format where you are interviewing somebody at the top of the show. And I really enjoyed listening to Kyle Whittingham. He's got a good head on his shoulders,
and
that speaks to why he's the longevity that he has at Utah. I'm looking forward to watching that game. I hope the swamp doesn't take its toll on Utah. I don't have a problem with Georgia being number three. We got a big target on a bullseye on our back anyway. We're national champions, and I understand thoroughly why Alabama's number one. You do a very, very good job of explaining what's going on in Alabama, and I don't think you're a homer. for any team in the SEC. And the previous caller, you were talking about Ohio State, and I was listening very intently. What's different this year for Ohio State from last year that we got a 1A and a 1B?
It's their defense, Pat. Their defense was very porous last year, and they were exposed in the Oregon game and obviously in the Michigan game, and this year they've shored that up. And, you know, they have a player that, I mean, Stroud could easily win the Heisman Trophy. He's that good, and he's got some receivers that will be in contention as well. Tony Barnhart is next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.